the Oakdale Christian Centre podcast. Continuing his thoughts on how we're changed when we're born again, in this recording Dave looks into our calling as disciples. The main reading is Ephesians chapter 1.
We're looking since the new year about who we are, changing our thinking, our identity. Once we understand who we are, it changes everything we look at, how we, our purpose. And last week we looked a bit at what being a disciple was. The requirements to be a disciple, of course, very high, very demanding. But why would it be any less? In the natural world, it's very demanding if we want to achieve something or to be anything or be somebody. And so to be a disciple of the Lord, that's what he calls us. We call ourselves Christians, but the Bible says disciple is someone who's a learner, an imitator, an apprentice, a follower. And of course, when we follow Jesus, we do as he did and speak. And of course, that's revealed. It should be seen in us, the fruit of that and the outworking of that we love his word, we abide in his word. And just to carry on with that, our calling, I read this before, but I like it. So I'll just read it again about discipline. Of course, that's something we don't like talking about too much these days, is it? But this was Mr. Spock, not Mr. Spock Star Trek, Benjamin Spock. That's right. He probably got more sense out of Spock than this particular Benjamin Spock, who had written a book about looking after children and. I mean, if you ever know anything about it, it wasn't great. It wasn't great at all. No discipline, he said. We don't want to damage children's egos and all that nonsense. But this is what he wrote later on in his life as he was an older man. We have reared a generation of brats. Do you don't say? Yeah, let them do what they want, didn't it? Yeah. Parents aren't firm enough with their children for fear of losing their love or incurring their resentment. This is a cruel deprivation that we professionals have imposed on mothers and fathers. Of course, we did it with the best of intentions. We didn't realize until it was too late how our know-it-all attitude was undermining the self-assurance of parents. Of course, when we take God's word out of it, God is very clear, isn't he? God is a good father and he disciplines. You spare the rod, spoil the child, all those. He says, look, a good son, you've got a good daughter, you discipline them. If you leave them to do what they want, he said, they'll cause you grief. And we've all had grief from our children to a certain extent. But if we left them do what they want, glory be, we'd have been in trouble, wouldn't we? And some of us have come across those people, and they've never grown up, of course. So the calling, a call. What are we called to, by what to do? Calling, well, that's an invitation, a summons, a calling, an invitation. I suppose the other part of it is your calling in life, your purpose, your mission, your vocation. But straight away we notice that God calls us. And that's wonderful, isn't it? Again, that just changes everything about us. That God actually called you. Now you responded, you received, but it wasn't your intention or your motive or you instigated. It wasn't your instigation or your intention. Because our natural inclination is to do what we want, my own way. But God calls us. God calls us. That's wonderful. Romans 1:1-7.
Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, regarding his son, who, as to human nature, was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Called to belong, bless the Lord, and called to be. Two different things, belonging, he called us to belong to him, verse 6, verse 7, he's called us now to be saints. And we looked at that when we looked at our identity the other day, didn't we, a few weeks ago, that we are saints. Bless the Lord, St. David. Amen. Not by the Pope, not by the Catholic Church, but by Almighty God. God calls his people. We are called. Why? Because we are called. The word is holy. People, and of course the church is people called out. Called out of this world. We are holy. We're his. We are sacred. Separated to him. And of course that's worked out. It's got to be worked out, as we'll see in a moment. Our calling is not to be the same. If we're the same as we were pre-Christian, there's something wrong. There's a demise. So we belong into him. Then that gives us security, doesn't it? Wonderful. Belong to the Lord. Hallelujah. So anything that comes out my way, God's allowed. Do you have a bit of this? See what you're going to do with this. See how you manage. But then that's the being, isn't it? We are working it out. We are saints. So he's calling us. He's the one who calls us. We're called by him. And, of course, this verse here, we call to him. Bless the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9, just one verse there.
And God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
So we call into fellowship, communion, partnership. Again, just to meditate on that verse alone. Out of the faithfulness of God, he's called us to be in fellowship with him. Bless the Lord. Again, that just changes everything and changes how we see things, how we live our lives. Oh, difficulties, absolutely problems, issues all around. But we're in fellowship with him. The King of the universe, we are in communion, in partnership with him. That's wonderful. So there's our calling. God calls us. We call by him, to him. Not to... other religions are not called to a person, they're called to a series of philosophies or commandments, or if you do this, you're okay. No, we're called to a person. I said before the story about Buddha on his deathbed, and they said, "How should we remember you, Buddha?" They said, "Well," he said, "don't remember me, remember my teachings." Well, Jesus never said that, did he? He said, "Remember me, follow me." It's all about him, a person. So that's our first, that's where we're called by him, to him. Now the Bible says, think about this, consider, just that word consider, look at, to see, consider your calling. Meditate on that. Because again, when the devil comes and whispers this and that, and lots of it could be true about our behavior and our background and what we left behind, yes. But the Bible says, consider God has called you. Oh, bless the Lord. God has called us. 1 Corinthians 1, 22, 31.
The Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base of the things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord.
Bless the Lord. Verse 26, consider your calling, consider your calling. But he also says, we are called irrespective of our qualifications, of our background. That's amazing, isn't it? Mm. God didn't say, well, that Dave Jenkins, cool. He's pretty good. We'll have him. We'll call him. No, he said, look, remember, because again, the Corinthian church, they had a little bit of trouble about people being a bit uppity because they were mostly slaves who had purchased their freedom. So they thought, oh, they're throwing a bit of weight around. He said, look, no. Remember who you were before you were called. Not many were noble, rich, intelligent, but God calls the foolish, the base, the nothing, to confound those who are wise. And as we said before, those who were capable, who have been capable, God chose, had to go through a lot of issues, a lot of testing and trial before God used them, didn't he? Moses, capable, with all that, well, he needed 40 years to knock off those edges. Paul, capable, Saul to Paul, but again, at least 3 years out in the desert, wouldn't he? And again, every place he went, troubles, difficulties, problems. Why? Because he had to remember he couldn't rely upon his abilities, which were great, which were mighty. So that's, consider our calling, think about it, but also remember, irrespective of qualifications, bless the Lord. So when we think of, and some people, isn't it funny, we look at some people and they're pleasant people, and we think, well, wouldn't they be good Christians? Sometimes I have found that the most obnoxious people, when you work with some people, you think, oh, they'd never be Christian. But actually, they're more open to the gospel than some of the people who are quite pleasant. So again, we judge by what we see sometimes. But look, gospel to every man, woman, or girl. And it's amazing how God will take those people we think, oh, they're awful, isn't they're terrible. And God will just change them, transform, because again, God knows what he's doing and God sees the heart. So consider your calling, but also be diligent. Diligent. Put some earnestness, speed, awareness. Speed awareness, not for you who've broken out. Speed awareness, two different words, to your calling. 2 Peter 1 is a lovely verse. I love these. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 to 11.
According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, but that he lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his own sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Consider, just look at that, consider it, look, observe, watch, but now give diligence. Get some effort into this to make your calling and election stable and sure, upright. And of course, he just tells us what to do then, because there's a growth in, there's a process. We are paying attention to who we are. And if we're a child of God, we spend time with the Father. We spend time in his word, as we looked at last week. The word abides in us, and we abide in the word abides in us, and we are strong, and we overcome the work of the enemy. So he's saying, now give diligence to this, so you will not, of course he gives it double there, doesn't he? Make your calling election sure, and you will not trip up, you will not err, you will not be distracted. When we remember who we are, give diligence to it, lots of things come across our path, don't they? But we'll be upright and steady and sure. And God wants that. God desires that. And he says, if you're not doing that, you've forgotten who you are, haven't you? You've short-sighted, blind, that your past sins are forgiven. Who are we? We are sinners, but forgiven, saints in the Lord. So there's where we are called by, called to, irrespective of our qualifications. Consider it, be diligent, remember who we are, remember our calling, remember who's called us. But you now, he's called us out of the lifestyle of this age. And that's the real pressure on us. The Bible is very clear in Romans, the world is always trying to squeeze us, always trying to manipulate us, always trying to get us to do this or that, or drop our guard. And there's so much around, isn't it? And as we've mentioned many times, what different things we allow into the eye gate, the ear gate. But this is what God has called us. This is what God wants. 2 Thessalonians 2:13-15.
But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth, whereby he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by epistle.
Again, he called us to be sanctified, to glorify him. Our purpose alone is to, of course, is to know the Lord, but is to glorify him. Isn't it? The purpose of man, the chief aim of man, is to glorify the Lord, glorify God and enjoy him forever. That was a catechism they used to say. Absolutely true. God is the one who started off, and we are here to glorify him. Sanctification, that lovely word that so often we've lost, becoming more like him, really. Separated from sin, separated to God. And again, to see what is, and remember, the devil is very, very subtle, isn't he? And sometimes we say, that's not too bad. Again, that's not our question, is it? Is it right? Or is it wrong? Because wrong may not be wrong, but not be right either. Is Lord, what is this? Is this, you know, is this helping? Is this feeding? Is this hindering me? And we just got to be honest. And sometimes it's a process, things that don't even bother me now, but did back then. And the Lord said, that's got to go, dear. Get rid of that. And that, it's gone. And are the things still bugging me and bothering me day by day? But remember who we are. Remember when we were called. 1 Peter 2 says, we are we're in different kingdoms, called us out to the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of light. We have different centres. We're not longer self-centred, we are God-centred. We are different lords, devil, ourselves, God, and him alone. We're in light and darkness and all those things. The Bible uses these dramatic opposites, doesn't it? Dramatic metaphors to realise who we are with him. And we want to do God's will. Listen to this. This is what God wants for your life. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-7.
It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honourable, not in passionate lust like the pagans, who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong to take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life.
God's will. There's no, and that, we just, lots of things in God's will, but that's God's will for us as his people. We will be holy, sanctified. And what he says to the Thessalonians is not a hint of immorality, not a hint of evil, is it? Of course, the context there in the sanctification is obviously speaking to a church which had, well, doesn't change, nothing changes, nothing new under the sun, is it? Immorality, and watching ourselves in that area, and of course these days, dear me, we have it, even on normal TV. Well, years ago we'd have called it porn, wouldn't we? I mean, now it's just matter of fact, and of course our kids today can access the most filthiest stuff you would even imagine, would it? And the Lord says, don't even talk about some of it, because it's so gross, like, and you just wonder, and they could stop it. They could stop. Of course they could stop it. Google and all those. I mean, if you go to China and that, you can't access only things they want you to access. So they can't, they don't say we can't stop it. Of course they can, but they don't stop it. And sadly, lots of people suffer. The people on there and the kids and dear me, we, you know. But God wants us to be holy, separated to God from the world, from sin, from evil. And this is what he wants, and this is what he prayed for in his last prayer, John 17.
My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world.
Yeah, again, sanctification, becoming more like him, is, of course, is ultimately tied to his word, because then when we're in his word, we know what's right and wrong, and things in our life that are dubious, maybe, or things that just the Lord says, oh, well, it's time for that to go, Dave, or something to put this into your life. That's done by his word. His word speaks to us. So, it's amazing that a verse we read many times will spring out to touch us, to lead us, to direct us. I was listening to a guy the other day, and Chuck came to see him, and he said, oh, I feel the Lord calling me to do this. He said, well, get into it then. Oh, he said, but what about this and what about that? He said, I got a family, I got this, and he was going to be evangelist, it was. And he said, well, how much are you earning? And he said, a figure. He said, well, he said, well, you only need 10 people giving this amount of people, this amount of money. And he said, you can do it, he said. He said, but if God is, if you feel God is to, get into it. And he was laughing because the Lord said, well, you could be the first of the 10 to give the money. He said, Lord, well, shut up. Believe it, what a good idea that was, wasn't it? And but he did do it. He felt the call. He said, Lord, I'll be obedient to you as he's going to be obedient. And of course, nowadays, I think he's flourishing in his ministry and employing other people. But it started with, what is God asking us of us, isn't it? And you could say, well, what if that was him? Well, he would have done it and it wouldn't have worked. And he'd gone back to going to do his job, wouldn't he? Sometimes we're a little bit, look, we can be wrong, can't we? But when it's doing the work of the Lord, well, you know, it's stepping out, listening to God. But of course, when we're talking about areas of our life that are dubious sometimes, and again, so vital, and sometimes we forget, and the devil's lied to us, isn't he? But the things we allow into our, we read, we listen to, we watch, powerful things, isn't it? If you notice that, it's amazing how your mind, isn't it? You never forget anything. I mean, you can't always recall things, of course, but you never forget it. It's imprinted on, the mind is it's a part. That's why the Bible says, watch your mind. When we get to heaven, we'll realize we should have done a little bit more to protect our mind and wash our mind. The washing of God's word is lovely because it washes our mind and cleans it up and washes us. So we are called out of the system, out of the lifestyle of this world. We're not of this world. Of course we're not. We have a high calling. God has called us. God has called us. We have a holy calling. Of course, we're called to be like him in everything. Here's another one we're called to. And again, this, depending what it is and how it is. 1 John 5:1-3.
Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who begot also loves him, or who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome.
Yeah, we are called to obey, aren't we? Again, sometimes that's difficult. Sometimes it's difficult, sometimes not. But the Bible says the more we know him, the more we love him, not burdensome, isn't it? Now, it's going to be decision. And of course, obedience is not just a decision, it's a lifestyle, isn't it? It's built up of decisions. And Jesus is our example. Jesus is our example. He learned obedience. What does that mean? Well, to say I'm obedient, it doesn't mean a thing. Obedience is only seen by our decisions, following what the Lord says. And now, and that's why he said he learned obedience, because he did it. He did it to be obedient. And I've talked about this before. That word, faith and obedience, is really one and the same, isn't it? When we talk about it, James is very clear, isn't it? Don't say I believe. If you're not obeying God's word, you don't really believe. Very close those words are together in the Greek. And really, obedience, the obedience implies obedience that's produced by that faith. We believe, we understand, we know. So then we ultimately, we inevitably can say, Lord, if I believe you, if I trust you, if I know who you are, I inevitably will follow, attend, submit to all that you have to say. In fact, Romans 16, 26 says, the obedience of faith. So he links them together because that's what we are called to do. And God loves that, to obey his word, even when it's going to, of course it's going to cost. But as Livingstone said, it doesn't really, what cost is this? Everything we have is God-given anyway, isn't it? We're only giving back what God's asked us to give, whether it's our time, whether it's our talent, whether it's our tithe, whatever it is. We're only giving back what God has. But again, it just reminds us who we are. We are his. We are his. Bless the Lord. Then he talks about our lifestyle. It's all about lifestyle and how we're living. Ephesians 4, 1-6.
As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through him and in all.
I think you'll find that statement numerous times in probably every one of the epistles. Walk worthy of your calling. Conduct yourself worthy. You are this, well, show it. In a sense, prove it. Why? Because that's who we are. He's in us. He's part of us. The fruit of the Spirit. Walk worthy of your calling. Again, that's why he says, consider who you are. Be diligent in your calling. So then we can walk worthy. If we think, well, you know, we take it lightly. We do, don't we? Some of us have been in church a long time. And we can get complacent sometimes. Lord, help us to keep the wonder of the gospel in our lives. We are called. Jesus called me. Jesus called us. We are chosen in that sense. Oh, help us, Lord. So then we walk worthy. Why? Because that's how we behave in the family. That's how we behave in the family. In our family, it's how we behave. And we used to go on holiday. Our dad said, right, hey, we're going to the hotel. And I said, you behave. Yeah. And it was, if you didn't behave, it was you'd have a bit of a rod then. But he said, look, you behave when we come here. He said, wait, bless the Lord. Why? Because we carry the family name. Heaven, children of the living God. So we are called to be worthy, to behave appropriately as his children. Hallelujah. Matthew 4, 19-22.
Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two others, at their other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him.
He called them first to him, follow me. Now, here we go. He's pushed us out. Our calling is to a particular calling. We all have a particular calling. God has put some gifts into us, whatever they are. I said, now, I've called you to go and use those to minister, because every one of us is a minister, because minister just means a servant. As we'll read in a minute, we're all called to serve. Not just called to say, oh, Lord, thank you, I'm a child of God, I'll sit by you. As we said before, we want to serve God, but in an advisory capacity. But God says, get up and work, isn't it? Serve me. The Bible says God had prepared in advance for us to do those things. Titus and others says, be zealous for the service, good works. Be zealous for them. Look, observe, see the things before you. And there's much to be seen, isn't it? People to reach, people to touch, people to speak to, people to pray for, people to help. So many needs around us. And God's given us all different gifts, isn't it? We talked about earlier, some of us have gifts of cooking. Well, if you wait for me to cook, if I cook the cake for you and give it to you, you'll say, Dave, stick to your calling. But some of us, you know, we've downplayed those things. And well, that's not, it is ministry. Because it's using what God has given you to bless, isn't it? And that can be, someone give me a cake, it'd be on my prayer list, bless them, Lord, keep blessing them. what God has given us, he's called us to him, but then he said, now go. Hebrews 9.
For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes or nepher, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?
We are clean, we are cleansed, we are saved. What? To serve him. And again, that there's no greater privilege, is it, to serve the King of Heaven. Bless the Lord. That's what we are called to do. And of course, lots of things that get in our way. and we thankfully, God gives us insight in that. Sometimes our ambition gets in our way, didn't we? James and John, didn't they? Lord, they got the mother involved, didn't they? Of course, the mother came and said, hey, give these two boys, good boys. Yeah, they are good boys. Yeah, right and left then. And the Lord said, what are you talking about? That's not, he can't have that. And then he said to them, will you pay the price? He said, we will. Well, wow. And they had an idea what they meant. And they did pay the price, of course, didn't they? Or one of them. Mm-hmm. One of them lived a little bit longer. And so we see ambition can get in our way. And again, God's got to take us down. Because depending where we come from, if we realise where we were, bless the Lord. And sometimes self-pity. Oh, I've done it and no one's helped and no one's thanked me. No one's said, blah, 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 blah. Peter, didn't he, said, we've left all, Lord. We've left everything to follow you. And the Lord said, Peter, give it a rest, will you? He said, if you've left it all, God will, is no man's debtor. He will bless you. And but I think it's in Mark, he said, you throw some tribulation in as well, a bit of trouble as well. So we are called to serve. We are called by him to serve him. And then when we understand that he's asked us to serve him, what a privilege. Isn't it amazing? Who else would, we talk naturally, the king is not going to give Dave me a ring, is he, and say, Dave, I want you to do this for me. No! But the King of Kings has called me to serve him. Bless the Lord. This one we don't like, but we've got to put it in because the word tells us it is. 1 Peter 2, 20-25.
For what glory is it when you have profited for your force, you should take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, mm-hmm. by whose stripes we are healed. For ye were sheep going astray, but now ye are returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls.
Bible says that we are called to suffering. Oh, dear, dear Dave. Well, how does that work its way out in, well, we can look at many of our brothers and sisters, and they are suffering. The word really is passion. And of course, literal with Jesus, he did suffer. Some of us will suffer literally like that in that sense. But his passion should be our passion. Yeah. His call. And what do we mean by that? The burden. You know, Jesus, the Bible says, on Sunday, he wept over Jerusalem. And that passion, that suffering, should be part of us. We should see something and it should move us. It should burden us. You know, last week when that vote went through for abortion, that should grieve us. Absolutely grieve us. That is before the Lord. You know, and so when we talk about the suffering for him, that can be literal, yeah, and possibly most of us won't ever get that literal. But let me say, the passion of the Lord, the burden of the Lord, the touch of how we see like him. Remember, he looked over the crowds and he was moved with compassion. The sheep without shepherds, and we look over our land, we look at the people around us, we look at the people we work with, our neighbours. That should move us. They are lost. They are lost. And we so often forget that. And so we are called to suffer for him and with him in that sense. And the last one, Hebrews 10, 19:25.
Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the presence of Jesus, by the new and living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Again, called to him, but called together, one another, stirring one another, encouraging one another. And if you just look at one another in your New Testament, you will find we are called for that. We're called to him, but to be a part of the church, the building, the bride, the body, devoted to one another, honour one another, serve one another, admonish one another, spur one another. We just read that. Live in harmony with one another, accept one another, kind and compassion to one another, encourage one another, hospitality one to another, love one another, confess your sins and pray for one another, carry on. What he's saying is, we are called into the body, one another. We need each other, and those who don't think they are, again, falling for the devil's lie and deception, and they'll end up cold and far from the Lord and not actually building the body in that sense, because everyone does its part. We're blessing each other, we're supporting, we're building each other up. And so our calling, consider it, be diligent, called by him, to him, to serve him, to obey him, to suffer with him, for him, out of the lifestyle, out of the thinking of this age. Bless the Lord. So much there, isn't it? God called us. God has called us. Hallelujah. And if we forget anything tonight, bless us. We can go home tonight and think, well, thank you, Lord. You put your hand upon me. You put your hand upon me. Help me to reflect that, to show that, and to be the disciple you want me to be.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. To find out more about our church, including our service times, visit www.oakdalechristiancentre.org.